Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Every Saturday, but sometimes Sunday, we combine the hot stove with the Zero Hour, and I guess it's a special holidays combo show, Chris.
Yeah, a nice big one. I don't think that on this busy weekend people have time to listen to two shows, so we'll just try one slightly longer show.
Oh, so you're saying this is our gift to people?
Well, not a gift, but we're still giving them one out of the two.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I do. So let's talk a little bit about some overall comments for the year. As people, we've gotten some questions on keepers for Dynasty Leagues and just overall thoughts for going into next year. Some pretty interesting free agents if you watch that quarterback play last night. So let's just talk about those two free agents real quick. Sam Bradford, Kirk Cousins next year.
Well, Cousins isn't going anywhere in all likelihood, right?
No, I doubt it.
And Sam Bradford only has value if he's Philadelphia's quarterback.
I've tried hard to pull for Bradford. I really did. I really wanted success there. But if you watch the whole game last night, there was some really awful play by him there in that game.
Yeah, he's been better than he was earlier in the season, but still not great overall.
He's awful.
Yeah,
he's awful.
Just really bad checkdowns, too, I think is probably the worst part, where you're down three touchdowns and you're throwing six-yard dump-offs pretty regularly. It's not good. The thing with him is that he'll probably be back there.
I think he will.
But the thing is that there's two free agents who, if Chip Kelly is still the coach there, you would think it would be pretty intriguing to him with RG3 and Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick's not a free agent, though.
Well, but they're going to cut him.
They're going to cut him, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think he'd be intrigued by him, but, man, can he hit the reset? I mean, the issue with the Eagles, you look at that team, and DeMarco Murray, it was obvious he's got a hip issue in that game. And I like the fact that he's just blowing chunks right now, because I think I'm going to definitely take chances on him again. I want to get burnt at least twice by a player before I really give up on him. You know me, Chris.
I don't understand why he even took a shot on him this year. I'm pretty sure that I strongly advocated that he should not be taken above like the third round, which meant basically you were never going to get him.
Yeah, you were a real pain about not drafting him. Thank gosh we only got him in like one league, I think.
Yeah, I was pretty dead set in my no DeMarco Murray rule.
But it's been a terrifically terrible season for him. But of course, when you rotate four running backs, one of which is missing apparently 10 fingers, Benyard Barner doesn't even have fingers on his hands apparently. And you rotate four running backs, there's zero chance for any continuity on that offense, right?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a mess. We'll see. We'll see if Chip learns anything from his nice little year here. And people seem to really be delighting in Chip not doing well this year. So I don't know if he'll necessarily make it through this. I don't know if he'll be back next year, because the long sharp knives are out there for Chip Kelly. So
he'll make it, but it's a train wreck. We got to talk more about that. But I got us off track here. But since we're there, did you know Walter Thurman's a free agent? That wonderful defensive back the Eagles had last night.
Yeah, so good. He's so good. Their defensive backfield in general leaves something to be desired.
Oh my gosh, you're so bad. All right, so Bradford, Cousins. We like Cousins staying there, so good value there. Couple interesting defensive players. Thoughts on what this might mean to their teams or if they move, and just a general comment from you on what a great defender can do for an offense. Von Miller and Greg Hardy.
Well, I mean, Greg Hardy, I think that is sort of damaged goods at this point. I think that just about any franchise other than the Cowboys would have not accepted his behavior.
Right.
So Greg Hardy, whatever. I'm kind of out.
But I did that on purpose. I'm sorry.
Von Miller, on the other hand, I can't imagine that he is not going to be playing in Denver next year.
Yeah, so that's a good deal for them. Ashon Jeffrey has been a bargain all year. I forget his cap number right now, but I remember when I looked it up last week, I was like,
boy. He's a second-round pick, so it's next to nothing.
Yeah, he's a big bargain this year and a free agent. You know, I'm going to tell you now, I think his agent's going to get him out of that town.
Yeah, well, no. Well, it depends. So I think that his targets, if he had been healthy this season, which he had the lingering, I believe, ankle, and was there hamstring earlier in the season?
He had both. He had both.
If he had been healthy the entire season, he would have been at about 180 targets at the pace he's been at for the end of the year. Really great player this year. It's very hard. In the NFL, it's very, very hard for a player like Alshon Jeffrey to get away from his team. So I've read nothing that he's unhappy with that situation. Jay Cutler really seems to be coming into his own. Adam Gase. As long as Adam Gase is there, I'm very excited about both of those players next year.
Mm, that's interesting, because I am not. Your guy, Ruben Randall, could get his way out of New York. He's stuck behind some talent and really might be fed up with how he's used in that team.
Yeah, I mean, in spots, he's been very productive this year, and maybe even this week with ODB out, he'll be effective. But it's completely dependent on where he goes.
Yeah, but the talent, I mean, this is a player that I think this is a great thing for people to watch, this player with Victor Cruz out. I mean, Victor Cruz, look at me with that mind meld right there. With ODB out, Randall having to draw the number one cover corner likely, see what he's really like, because – you know, Kirk Cousins, after 10 weeks, looks a whole lot different getting every snap or nearly every snap. And Ruben Randall got a lot of play this year and looks a lot better this year as well towards the end. So he's a nice wide receiver to scout out right now. Sometimes it's about who's going to leave and not get signed, Chris. LeGarrette Blount and Ronnie Hillman, both free agents on their prospective teams. What does that do to the guys behind them?
I believe that last year, for the last 6 weeks, that Beckham was the number one wide receiver, and that Randall was, it was either the fourth or fifth.
He was very high.
For those six weeks. So, I mean, LeGarrette Blount looked done this year.
Yep.
Looked absolutely done. So, trust nothing with the Patriots. I think that absolutely anything is up in the air and in play for them. With the Patriots' backfield, there's no reason. There's no reason to think that, oh, this is the guy. Even if you have, so if you have Deion Lewis, he looked pretty great. You know, and I'm still pretty high on Deion Lewis going forward, but there's no assurance that he's going to be their passing down guy next year. I think if you're standing pat thinking that you have a great resource in Deion Lewis in a keeper league, you've got to kind of hedge your bets on that and get another guy. Don't think that you're all set, because I don't think you are at all.
Hillman in Denver and Manning possibly passing the torch next year full time. Hillman probably will exit. What does that do in Denver?
I think that there's going to be a lot of turnover in Denver next year anyway. I don't think that, and even if he re-signs there, I'm not really super confident in what's going on there. And man, back-to-back week with Peyton Manning slams between being fiery about being a backup quarterback, which I think he, after being a starter for, what, 18 years, 17 years, I think you would probably be a little testy about being a backup quarterback. I think he's somewhat justified in that.
Yeah.
And then this week with the HGH report, which is from – it's a documentary on Al Jazeera, which is very strange. I guess technically that's where he was getting some of the HGH from, was from that region. So, well, technically not his wife, excuse me. Not him, his wife, Ashley Manning. Ashley Manning really loves HGH.
This is great.
I don't know what she's using it for, but Ashley Manning is the HGH connoisseur in the family.
Is that heavenly grown hash, or what does that stand for? I don't remember.
Human growth hormone?
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah, that's right. You got it. Yeah. Well, poor Peyton. You know, he's got kind of a complex, really, to be playing. And you know I'm a big Manning fan, but come on. I mean, don't get me wrong. Guy's uber talented, uber smart. But to be playing with these type of medical risks he's had with his neck, his back, and now doing this after 18 years and the money he has, he's got some issues, man. Anyway.
There were doctors on ESPN. No one really talks about this at this point, but there were doctors on ESPN when he went from Indy to Denver saying he could die.
Yeah.
He could actually die because of this neck surgery and the way you get hit as a quarterback. It's pretty remarkable that he's played after those neck procedures. Those were very, very serious.
Dating myself, he reminds me of guys like Lyle Alzado, the way he played the football no matter what. A couple of big-time running backs you pegged back in July didn't listen to you. So that means in 2016, I'll probably listen to you a little bit more about running backs. And then consequently, because I listened, you'll be wrong this time and
yeah.
I'll get burned.
Yeah.
But Chris Ivory, Lamar Miller, man, these guys have played dynamite football for teams that have not – I mean, just amazing football to me. What about these guys, Chris?
Yeah, I like Lamar Miller going into next year because there's has to be a better coaching situation in Miami than what has been thus far. And so think about it, though, Bob, is that right now, even with Joe Philbin out, they fired Bill Lazor. And they fired their defensive coordinator, whose name escapes me. So there are the guys who should have the most experience on your team, your two coordinators and your head coach, they're all gone. So kind of there's a talent vacuum in the coaching ranks with the Dolphins. So he's had some good weeks. I think he's the best player on that offense. And I don't know that it's close.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I love Jarvis Landry, but I'm saying right now, I think the most talented player is Lamar Miller. So next year, yeah, I like Lamar Miller. However, I think that you could see him really shooting up boards. Chris Ivory is in a free agent year. This is the last year of his contract. So that adds a lot of kind of turbulence to his situation. So I'm not sure what to do with Chris Ivory for next year.
I just know the Dolphins are going to pay to keep Miller if they want him. He's going to make them pay big. Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Jets, that quarterback's probably not going anywhere, which is great news for Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, and Bryce Petty, they seem to like what's going on long-term with him. Kind of comparing him to other long-term project quarterbacks, trying to take it very slowly with him. As long as Chan Gailey doesn't go anywhere, the offensive coordinator, then that should be fine. And this is a nice offense that they have here, and it's pretty, I mean, Bilal Powell, I'd like to see what his
he's a free agent too,
is he? Because he's been great these last few weeks. Really nice compliment. I don't know that he could be a guy who could take a full-time role, but this role that where they're sprinkling him in, he's been pretty, he's scary. I mean, this week against the Patriots, I think he's going to be probably what decides the game for the Jets.
Yeah. Before we move on to some IR comments, the last three, these guys kind of lesser players, but they tend to more likely to move and have shown a lot of flash this year. And you've talked about them once in a while. Marvin Jones, a free agent. Brian Walters, the wide receiver in Jacksonville. And Zach Miller, the emerging tight end in Chicago, who's kicked Bennett out of the team.
Essentially. Yeah, I think Bennett has been also injured. So that could have something to do with it as well. So Zach Miller, we'll see. He was a great tight end once, right? He was one of the best tight ends once. So we'll see where he goes. I would think that he would want to stay in this situation that he's pretty comfortable in by the looks. So I would expect that. Walters, we'll see what happens. He seems to have decent chemistry with Bortles. I don't think that he's going to be a big money guy, so he'll probably stay there as well. I couldn't really tell you about Marvin Jones, to be honest.
What'd you say?
I just don't know about Marvin Jones.
He's an interesting player on a team that a quarterback who I don't think uses his progressions near as well. And there's been a lot of targets out there. So he's a heck of an athlete, a heck of a wide receiver.
He needs AJ Green.
Yeah, that could be. He could be one of those guys. You're spot on. Let's talk a little bit about IR. We are going to head into the zero hour, folks, so don't worry about that. IR players, just your comments as to what we might expect next year. Could they be bargains? I'll lead off with a player that I think is going to be very interesting to watch, given how his quarterback's played, Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, so that guy, I know a lot of people who got him in keeper leagues for either a very low draft pick or very low money, because coming into next year, Cam Newton But I don't think I'm speaking out of school to say that he's the best quarterback in the league this year. So
he's crazy right now. He's cats out crazy.
Some of the passes that he throws are just insane. Just insane to watch. So Kelvin Benjamin, easy top 10 wide receiver that we're forgetting about right now. The good news with him is that he injured that knee, I think it was like the first or second week of preseason.
It was very early.
So he's got plenty of time. Plenty of time he'll to be recover. Healthy, yeah.
So you like? I'm with you. I hope people forget about him enough, but I doubt he will. He'll probably light the preseason up on top on fire.
If you have like a July draft, you that might be advantageous.
Hit him early. Yeah, hit him early is the feedback there. Two big name running backs: Mark Ingram, Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde's not going anywhere. I believe he has another. So he was an IR guy. We're talking about IR guys.
Switched on you. Yep. Sorry.
So. Still not in love with the coaching staff there, but he was solid for the entire season. Really, he kind of reminds me of Doug Martin in his rookie year. Remember where everybody forgot that Doug Martin basically only had one game? He shredded the Raiders and everybody made him the number two overall pick. It kind of reminds me of that with Carlos Hyde, where, you know, people are going to point to that Vikings game, and he was good in other games, but that was the game where he was kind of fully actualized and people were screaming from the heavens. That was the Carlos Hyde that I wanted. That was the Carlos Hyde that I expected this season, which you were sitting pretty at that point. It's with a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick and Carlos Hyde looking like that, a monster. He looked great in that game, but if he ascends to the first round, I think that's a little ambitious and I'm a little scared at that point.
Yeah, I'm all off. Like, that's one of the boats I'm not hitching to. 470 yards, I wrote down in a note I had for this. And I want to say 370 of that came against the Vikings, but yeah. I know it wasn't that bad, but he only had 470. I'll look it up right now, Chris, and I will remind folks, I think his game logs are actually pretty terrible. I think the guy fell off the horse right away after that first game. Let's take a quick look. He had 168 against that Viking team, 6 yards a carry. But then 13 for 43, 15 for 50, 8 for 20, a good game against the Giants, who doesn't, 21 for 90, then 20 for 50 and 11 for 40. It was a rough year, Chris.
Yeah, let's not forget the talent around him.
Oh, it's horrible.
Who he had playing quarterback. Yeah. So I think that considering what he had around him.
You're going to forgive him.
Yeah, having a 3.5 yards per carry against the Seahawks.
All right.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. And, you know, Pittsburgh's defense is much improved. Arizona's defense is much improved this year. Yeah, I mean, I think that this was an encouraging step for him. However, if the only evidence that we have of him being a monster was that opening game against the Vikings,
yep.
I can't take him with a second-round pick, I think, is ambitious for him. Unless somehow they get some insane quarterback, you know, some great quarterback to come into that place. That's a hard ask. Hard ask.
That's a good term. It's a very, very hard ask. I agree 100%. In any scenario, can you see drafting yourself Tony Romo or Jimmy Graham next year? Graham coming off the quad on the IR late in the season, and Romo basically at the end of the year with a triple broken clavicle for like the ninth time in his career.
See, this is the difference between me and you. Is I can totally see myself doing that as long as they fall far enough.
Gee. Yeah, that's you and Brad Cruz would be together in that. He always reminds me, everybody has value at some spot, Bob. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, backup quarterback Tony Romo, fine with. Especially if you can get him in the 12th or 14th round. No problem with that whatsoever. Same with Jimmy Graham. High end, if you can get him in that range from the 10th round to the 14th round, yeah, I'm fine with it. He was a fourth round tight end this year. Yeah. And if we said this about DeSean Jackson. I'm telling you, I made some cash off DeSean Jackson a couple of years back when people hated him after him getting taken too high. If public sentiment swings on these guys and they fall too far, there's a ton of value in that. The hated guys who screw teams over the year before. DeMarco Murray is another great example. If he's an eighth rounder next year and we see some positive signs about him, yeah, whatever, draft him.
The steps away for the Ravens are so much further than they ever used to be. Flacco out with an ACL.
Yep.
Ryan Mallett's in. A lot of people laughing at that pick, but Newsom is a heck of a GM pickup, a free agent signing, just to see what he has. Mallett's history has been talents there. His head's not been together. maybe this team can put it together. Forsett out, Flacco bad, Pitta done, this defense nothing what it used to be. This team could be pretty bad next year.
I'm pretty confident in Ozzie Newsome. I think that there's a decent infrastructure there. I like some of the players that they have on both, especially on both sides of the line. Their offensive line, you know, not playing as well this year, but granted, not as much talent for them to protect. So offensive and defensive line is pretty good. Ozzie Newsome, one of the best in the entire league. So next year, I think that there's a pretty big opportunity for Perriman and whoever they draft. We'll see if they stick with Buck Allen or if they throw somebody else out there. Yeah. Justin Forsett, a kind of lightly used guy, but he'll be 31, I believe, next year, or 32.
Yeah. Bad.
Careful. Yeah. But if, once again, you know, you're saying that, everyone else is going to be saying that, if he falls, once again, to the 7th, 8th round, then I'm going to take a risk on him in a few leagues.
Two touchdowns this year. Two touchdowns.
That was a terrible team this year. They from the get-go, the first game of the year, Terrell Suggs goes down. And I believe, what was it, the fifth or sixth game where Steve Smith went out? They were snake bit this year.
That was their hurt. That was their hurt. Yeah. One more quick one, because I asked Farrell this question, too, on the Wednesday show before Christmas. This one's tough because of what's emerged behind him. Jamaal Charles, comments, and then where do you draft him given the running backs behind him?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of there hasn't been one guy who really emerges. But he might fall further than – I can't imagine that he falls out of the first round, right?
I don't know. It would be pretty – given the situation at running back when you look through – well, I'll just mention him here now because that was the last thing I was going to do before we go to 0 hour. First-round quarterbacks such – running backs such as Lacy, Forte, Murray, Hill, Forsett, High, Lynch all sucked this year, okay? So why would you take Charles in the first round and just not doing it?
Well, we might – what we might see next year, just because of how much parity there's been at running back, is more of the expert league approach, where wide receivers go way higher.
Yes.
We see that probably every, like, fourth or fifth year in standard leagues, where, you know, if you do the ESPN Yahoo drafts, then all of a sudden there's a run on wide receivers because there was a really bad running back year. So we could see that next year, and Jamaal Charles going to be 29, so not quite 30 yet. But there's value to be had there when people take wide receivers too early. But I know that Bob and I still like to employ that, hit him in the first and second round just to kind of get it over with, and then maybe a little bit later. But yeah, it's I can see Jamaal Charles falling a little bit, but at the same time, he's a pretty talented guy.
I know he's multiple knee injuries on a cheap team with a good couple of running backs behind him. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be a tough player for me to draft next year. All right, just a couple more quick ones. Hilarious, the press conference after the game last night, the lights go out on Chip Kelly.
I'm going to leave it alone.
It was just hilarious. He almost laughed. He knew. He's like, yeah, it's just ridiculous. You know, offense is real important for the Eagles, and I agree with it, but let's not forget linebackers. Kiki Alonso apparently cannot run with Jordan Reed.
He's pretty good. I mean, you hate Jordan Reed. You have a blood feud with Jordan Reed.
Well, I did. I didn't heading into the, you know, it's something I looked it up during the game because I was telling my daughter, says, you know, I hate Jordan Reed. She's like, why? And I said, so, well, you know, during the offseason, we read about and we found out that Reed had completely changed his training regime, changed his diet, exercise, went to stretching, went into everything to help combat his chronic every year hamstring issue. And I said, so I'm all in on him. I told her, I said, you know, he's my guy. He's I'm going to get him later, and he's my guy this year. It's going to be great. I'm very excited. And, you know, I think it was week one in preseason, he tweaks his hamstring, if I recall. And so that's when I went from love to hate in about 12 seconds and wrote him off. But look, it worked for him, didn't it?
It sure did. And
wow.
The other thing that's scary with him is, you know, it wasn't just his kind of chronic, it wasn't just the hamstring. It was also concussion.
Yes.
He had several concussions, so it's looks good. Yeah, I mean, the talent was never even remotely questionable to me. He's been a great player for a while.
He just looks a lot stronger now.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So good for him. So he's going to go pretty high next year, right?
Yeah, he'll go where Jimmy Graham did this past year.
Oh my gosh. Any takeaway from Zach Ertz getting 13 catches other than I think the Redskins just throw 6 yarders to Ertz. We don't care.
Mike Clay from Pro Football Focus pointed this out. I thought it was pretty funny. Week 16 last year, Ertz had 15 catches, and this year he had 13.
Jeez.
He does this to us every year.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. By the way, Jordan Reed is only 93 yards away from 1,000 yards this year.
Wow.
Yep. All right, that's pretty crazy on the Redskins. This one interesting for you because I didn't know this. The rushing title, we don't normally look at that because fantasy doesn't pay for that. But there'll be some motivation this year, I think, for these last two games. Adrian Peterson is leading the league, 13-14. Number two is, any idea?
Doug Martin.
It is.
Yep.
Doug Martin, 13-05, 9 yards behind. No one else will touch these two guys. So it's a 9-yard race, Chris. Who do you like?
I like Doug Martin because Lovie Smith said that they're going to go get it for him. So,
well, he's got matchups against Chicago and then finishes at Carolina. That's not necessarily the best. Well,
Carolina might be half done in that game, though.
That could be true, but Peterson does get the Giants in Green Bay. I like that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see on that. But
good for him.
Yeah.
Good for both of these players, right?
Yeah.
Good for both of them.
Yep. Yep.
Here's something that you'll use to pound my head with an anvil. How can Frank Gore be ahead of Lamar Miller in rushing this year? Gore is 12th in the league with 806 yards. Miller only has 781. How can that be, Chris?
Remember,
66 carries separates these two players. Miller has 66 less carries than Frank Gore.
I believe there was another fantasy football podcast that said stake your reputation type season on Frank Gore, taking him in the second and third round.
Oh, but, yeah, there was.
Yeah.
They were so in love with him.
Yeah. He's good player, right?
Good player.
Good, solid player.
Didn't help keep Luck healthy.
No. He's good in the passing game. Yeah. He's a solid runner. But yep. Where he was being drafted was just completely out of whack.
It was insane.
It was insane to expect that.
He hit the ground.
And so what's funny is that Bob is saying this. Bob, kind of like I did with Sam Bradford towards the end of the preseason, where I was all out on Sam Bradford. But then by the fourth week of the preseason, I was just like, man, I'm hedging awfully hard. I'm betting awfully hard against this guy. I should probably hedge with a few leagues. And, you know, that happened to Bob, too. But Frank Gore's 32, and this happens, and, you know, you slow down a little bit, and even though he's been a very solid player this year, nothing spectacular. You know, he's not – it's been a bad year for running backs, and he's certainly not excluded from that.
He's the poster child for it. Let's wrap it up with those first-round running backs, just as my – we got to get our mindsets right, folks, for 2016. Get your mindset right. I'm telling you, we're going wide receiver, every one of us. Next year, Lazy, 664 yards, 3 touchdowns. Forte, 750 yards, 4 touchdowns. DeMarco Murray, 633, 5 touchdowns. Jeremy Hill, 635, but 10 touchdowns, so we'll take that. Forsett with 2 touchdowns. Hyde and Lynch, under 500 yards and 3 touchdowns. Man, someone threw a hand grenade in the running back locker room.
Yeah, and, you know, there's plenty of guys who – and the thing is that – you can count the guys who were consistent for the full year on one hand.
Yes.
You had to be very fluid with running backs. So it's very hard to justify taking a running back, any one of these running backs, higher than the fourth round outside of Peterson and Martin. Those were the only two guys who were there every week this year that were actually worth it.
And so can you will you be able to pass on Peterson and Martin at like the 7th pick and take one of those wide receivers, because that's what we're talking about.
Happily. We've been doing that for years now.
Yep. And it works. You know, overall, I mean, 10 teams, you know, man, Chris, we almost had a fabulous season. We had a good season. We almost had a fabulous season. We had 5 teams miss the playoffs by one win or by under 50 points. I mean, it was so close. And they were strong teams, teams I thought were better than the teams that went in, got money for us.
Yeah, I mean, I know our Mike Worst team started out, I believe, 0-6 and ended up 6-7 or something like that. Yep. It surged and won the consolation tournament and all that stuff. And, you know, we were on with some guys, just had to be patient, but just didn't have the horses to keep up during the beginning of the season. But you've got to be very, very fluid with that running back position. You've got to be Johnny on the spot. You have to watch pretty much every game, every weekend, look at all the box scores and determine which running backs are failing and see who their backups are, know enough about those backups to be ready to shove those guys in. And it's stressful. We try to help you out during the beginning of the season.
We try.
There is just so much turmoil with that position now.
Hey, before we transition to Zero Hour, we're here because of you, your downloads, iTunes, smartphone. Keep those downloads coming. You help us a ton, folks. Thank you. And Sports Manias, you know about these guys. They'll help you dominate your league. Download that free Sports Manias app. You'll be able to simply import your teams from Yahoo, CBS, and ESPN automatically. Get a personalized feed. You'll get experts, local beat writers, breaking news, scoring opportunities for your players. You're on the move during the holiday season. This has been pretty handy for me. You know exactly what's going on immediately with your players. You don't have to look through 30 pieces of news to find your players. You're getting just your player news, Chris. I love that, Sports Manias, man.
Yeah, it's a good app. Like you said, it's very nice to be able to see the beat writers, all the latest news on teams. It's a good app.
And I love their tagline. We're going to do some more T-shirts. Vincente said he'd send some more to us. Get your fantasy on. I do, and I love the hat. I should have sent you one. I feel kind of guilty keeping both of those.
It's all right. Sorry,
I gave away two, like I promised, but I did keep two. Well, I didn't keep two. I gave one to a friend here. But hey, some bad news before we go to Zero Hour. I know we're running late. Should we apologize to Joseph Wormsley now or not?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins went a little nuts last week. I expected the Eagles' defense to rebound a little bit.
He asked us about, folks, poor Joseph. He's in his championship game, I think he was. And he was trying to decide about Mr. Cousins or Mr. Rodgers, and I went Rodgers, and I think you did too, Chris.
I just felt like, you know, we've preached about this where you ride with your horses. Granted, Rodgers has had a tumultuous season, but it's the championship game. Who in their right mind would play Kirk Cousins over Aaron Rodgers, right?
But we talked about it. You know, we sent some emails back and forth, and I let him know, you know, there are people playing Cousins. It's not crazy. He's been playing really well. The team's playing well. But then I pointed out the thing I looked at that really scared me of playing him over a guy like Rodgers is up to last night, he only had three multiple touchdown games.
Well, he also committed one of the dumber plays in NFL history.
Oh, my gosh, it was hilarious. People might not have seen. Just go to
Deadspin and watch the video with 10 seconds left, and they were on the or 8 seconds left, and they were on the 10-yard line.
First half.
There was a lot of confusion. The play before got blown dead for some reason, and then when they had a live ball situation where they had to run up to the line, snap it quick. Kurt he knelt instead of spiked the ball. So by all means, go check that out on YouTube because that was head scratching to say the least.
And you're being so kind to the refs because it's not that he just knelt. Then he stood up and there was confusion. And then he kneeled down again and drove the ball into the ground but keeping his hand on it. So he didn't spike. He just kind of tried to smash the ball into the ground. And then with 2 seconds left in the half, the referees blew the whistle, even though I don't know why. And then they threw a flag. So maybe you can help me out because I couldn't figure it out. What was the whistle for, Chris, at 2 seconds? And what was the flag for?
I think that the officials were confused. They have a sort of – you know, almost like PTSD because of the beating that they've taken this year. Like, I'm sorry to compare it to that, but they are shell-shocked because of the complete damage that they've taken in the press this year. No one is safe. So these guys are just getting abused. That was another Deadspin article that I read this past week where I believe it's Pete Morelli, who's been consistently one of the highest-rated refs in the NFL over the last few years, and he's had the worst season an NFL referee has ever had in history. And it's contagious, it's bad. The officiating is going to rear its ugly head again before the end of the year, and I think these guys are terrified.
Probably in a big game. So you're saying it was trigger finger, you know, they didn't know what Cousins was doing. They don't know what's happening. Throw a flag.
Yeah, quick, get it done. Do something. Let's convene.
There was a strange play, too, where the Eagles tried to sneak a player on the sideline there for a punt return. And then they got flagged for that as an illegal substitution. And I don't think they did that because Kelly called a timeout on purpose just to chew the ref out after that call.
Yeah, that was weird. Well, that was also fourth and one, and they were down three scores, so that could have been why he called the timeout too.
Oh yeah, no, that was a separate play. He did that.
Oh
too.
My god, that's right, that's right.
That was a separate play. It was a bad game.
Stupid
it was,
game.
But it was very entertaining for December 26th. So thank you. And by the way, Joseph, I appreciate the fact that you gave me this opportunity to screw up with Cousins, because you're giving me a great reason to watch the Packer game and cheer Rodgers on, which I've never done in my entire career.
Yes. Yes, hopefully that's a good game.
Yeah, over/under's good, right?
Yep.
So speaking of over/under, let's get to the 0 hour. Man. Right. That game's a 51-point over/under. There's supposed to be points there.
Yep, should be.
Let's go.
Quarterbacks: Ben Roethlisberger, Cam Newton, Alex Smith, Breeze, and Stafford. There's some noise that Derek Anderson is going to play against Atlanta, and you would think that he would because of how terrible that Atlanta team has been. However, I would point you to that Giants game last week where, if you were playing against Cam Newton, he already had about 35 points in the first half.
Wow. Yeah, but it's very difficult in your money leagues to start Cam this week. I think you're right. We might start seeing the Panthers take it easy in the second half. I'm with you on that first half points, but when I can spend – I mean, Cam's expensive, brother, man. I can spend, you know, Stafford's red hot, $7,600. I'll take him against the Niners.
Yeah, I think Roethlisberger is the guy who I'm really going to lean on this week.
We love that matchup. Baltimore – $8,900, though. He's a pretty pricey man, but he's got some nice wide receivers.
What? So they need to keep on winning, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And why? Do you really think the Steelers are going to take pity on the Ravens?
No.
With the number of matchups?
Oh, yeah. Just painful.
The bad blood between those two teams?
A lot of bad blood here.
You think for a second that the Steelers don't want to win 49-10 in this game?
I think Tomlin wants to win 49-10.
Yeah. So yeah. I see no reason to not put Ben Roethlisberger.
So I like Big Ben. Yeah. I did make a call out there for Stafford being red hot, but any thoughts on that? I mean, the guy has played – I have made a note for myself in a couple of lineups I was doing. 4-2 in the last six, 14 TDs in the last six games with only two picks.
So
– wow.
The only thing that I could say is that the 49ers defense has been better recently. Mm-hmm. It was really bad at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been acceptable, you know, not an atrocity in the last few weeks.
Yep.
So that's one thing to look out for. They still don't match up very well to Calvin Johnson as long as they keep on force feeding him the ball. Their pass rush isn't great, but then the Lions' offensive line isn't very good either. So those are the only things that I can tell you as far as throwing some cold water on Stafford.
Well, it's Jim Bob and Golden Tate have been the reason Stafford's playing good.
Yeah, that's true. Golden Tate definitely coming on towards the end of the year here. But yeah, I can see why you would play Stafford. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here.
Yep.
Maybe if you want the cheaper quarterback, maybe go Blake Bortles instead, who's playing New Orleans.
Yeah, talk about Bortles real quick, man. $8,200, that'll save me some of the money, and that's going against New Orleans. Everyone likes to do that, so talk to me quickly about Bortles.
Yeah, so right here with Blake Bortles, worst team in the league against tight ends, and I believe that they're the third or fourth worst team against number one wide receivers. Let me see their pass. In general is the worst in the league, the Saints. So
he's 180 yards from 4,000 yards this year.
Yeah, and he seems to kind of relish these games where he can throw five garbage touchdowns. He really gets into the garbage time. He's currently the king of garbage time. We thought it was going to be Derek Carr this year, but Blake Bortles just stole it from him. Not that Derek Carr hasn't had a good season. Very encouraging season for Derek Carr. But Blake Bortles is really kind of relishing the spoiler role, where it's amazing that he's going to win some championships for people this year.
He is going to win championships. 14 TDs in his last six games. He is red hot going against the Saints. Wide receivers are healthy. Yeldon still nursing the injury. The Jaguars still in the playoff hunt.
That's so sad.
Who do you not like?
Johnny Manziel.
Matt Ryan. You just say that on purpose.
Well, I think I would say that I'm probably more of a Johnny Manziel sympathizer. And I would love for him to be freed, I guess, to be liberated from the Cleveland Browns organization and go to a place that will nourish him. Zach Mettenberger, Matt Ryan, Blaine Gabbert, Case Keenum, Brock Osweiler, also a tough matchup.
You did hate Bradford before you saw the game because the sheet came out before that.
Yeah. I'm staying away from that Denver-Cincy game. I'm staying away. I want no part of it on either side. I don't know what's going to happen. Do you have any idea what's going to happen in that game on Monday night?
No idea whatsoever, but I can tell you I have just seen a Fantasy First nationwide just now.
Okay.
What's Johnny it? Manziel's name is right after Matt Ryan's.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
Wow.
It would take every single player, all 22 players. I would need a guarantee from both coaches that all of them took HGH today for me to know what's going to happen in that Monday night game.
Yeah.
I would need to know that Peyton Manning opened up his cachet of HGH to the entire Denver Broncos organization to know what's going to happen.
That game has an incredibly low over-under, if I remember, which you've always told me, you know, take a look at the weird numbers when you see them. That game has a 39-point over-under.
The thing there, though, is that over-under is consistently the weirdest, the toughest bet to forecast. So that's more of an indicator for kind of you might want to avoid this game. Right. But at the same time, it's very tough. Even guys who set over-unders will tell you that it's a tough bet to consistently hit on.
That I can believe. Let's move on to the money position, running backs.
I'm probably just going to not be a hero here and go with Carlos Williams and David Johnson.
Wow. Yeah, there were. Talk about two rookies making hay in Week 16 in Fantasy Championships.
Carlos Williams is the starter for Buffalo.
Yep.
Their offense is carrying them right now. I think that Dallas is done. I think they're done. Like they're ready to go home for the year.
So happy to go home.
Yeah, yeah. It's week 16, and they have had enough. They've had enough this year. You could also throw Denard Robinson out there if you want another cheaper option. As far as the big money guys, once again, West and Ware are just getting money matchups these last few weeks. So West has been the more consistent one. So maybe you want to go with him if you're looking for a deep play. Cameron Artis Payne.
Nice.
Yep. And Fuzzy Whitaker also has a decent one. This is a great, great, great matchup for Doug Martin as well against the Bears.
Yeah, Doug Martin, pricey at 81, but like you said, they've talked about trying to get him the title, chasing Peterson. This is the game they need to make hay home against Chicago, $8,000. I love him with Carlos Williams in the five because I'm in for $13,000 with, I think, potentially two of the top running backs of the week.
I'm also pretty happy if you want to swap out any one of those guys with D'Angelo Williams.
Oh, yeah.
David Johnson, I think that he's going to be just good enough this week. I think in the PPR format, he'll keep you afloat because he can't do what he did last week. He can't. He can't drop 45 points for you. It's not going to happen again. But I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be a good solid play against the Packers this week.
And Payne, of course, filling in for the injured Stewart, who they can just nurse along to get ready for the playoffs. A great bargain. You called him out. $5,600, you're going to save a lot of money there to let you do some fun things at wide receiver. Guys you don't like?
I should also throw out AP and Jerick McKinnon, too. Jerick McKinnon, that's a dynasty guy that we should definitely watch out for, and we should draft him a little bit more liberally next year.
Yep.
Perpetually, the Tennessee guy is not a fan of Todd Gurley.
Perpetually.
Todd Gurley, no thank you this week. And then also, tough, tough week for Devontae Freeman. Who carried some teams to the fantasy championship, and this is a bad matchup against the Panthers.
Did he get a concussion in his shower this week?
That was Tevin Coleman.
Oh, that was Tevin Coleman. I just saw that on a feed somewhere. I'm like, what?
Yeah, he slipped in the shower, and he's in the concussion protocol, which, I mean, on the one hand, I would like to laugh at Tevin Coleman about that. On the other hand, round of applause to the Falcons for actually admitting that and entering him into the concussion protocol when I don't think that would have happened 5 years ago.
That's true.
Where
they wouldn't have told anybody.
Yeah,
right.
He probably wouldn't be playing. So that's good that if he actually did get a concussion from that, then I would rather not mock them and discourage them from disclosing that type of information in the future. I've slipped in the shower before. Yep. I think we all have. You need those sticky things.
It's startling.
those stickers that you put on the bottom.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen those since 1989 when I was very young. But I used to like putting them in the shower nonetheless because you wouldn't slip. Duke Johnson, Isaiah Grokoel, also don't like them very much. And Sean Drone, The Sean Drone life is a rough life to lead, I feel like. I understand why you picked him up, but don't play him in daily.
And Mike Davis is back. The Niners are playing for nothing. You might see their rookie get some play this week, too, so definitely stay away from that. Even in your if you're listening to this and setting some of your roster tweaks, you might want to look for your other free agent pickup. If you had Hightower, he's definitely a start over Drones this week.
Wide receivers. If you're a masochist and you like to play in tournaments every week, I have a weird feeling about Marcus Wheaton this week.
Wow. He's been a great player lately. Pittsburgh, yep. Big matchup.
I might pay for Antonio Brown. But if I don't, then Martavis Bryant. I think you have to get one of those three Pittsburgh wide receivers, particularly if you're playing Ben. I think you got to get one of those guys.
Oh, I think at $6,000 for Wheaton, stacking him with Brown is pretty nice. $15,003. You save some money on the running back picks that you talked about earlier. It gives you these two guys. And again, for any new time listeners, stacking is when you're looking at a matchup you like. You think that offense is going to score a lot of points. Get two players from the same team. Don't shy away from it. Some people say shy away from that because you're putting all your eggs in one basket. But you're betting on what you're feeling that game's going to be like. Like, hey, the Steelers are going to rack up 35, 40 points. I want everything I can on that offense I can afford.
Usually what you would like to do is Ben Roethlisberger and whichever. If you had a stronger feeling about Antonio Brown, which you should, then Wheaton. The stack would be Brown and Roethlisberger, so that if Brown gets a touchdown, then you get to double dip with both Ben and Brown. Willie Snead, Jeremy Maclin, Brandon Cooks, Calvin Johnson, and maybe even a little bit of Stephon Diggs this week.
But Brown, I know I have seen that stat a couple weeks ago. So it is sneaky here, Bryant and Wheaton. Sorry to bounce back on that. Brown's big games are always at home. I mean, he loves playing in Pittsburgh. So I like your call out for Wheaton. But how about a couple red hot wide receivers you didn't mention yet? Who previously you did talk about and were great buys. We were able to play with a lot of money because of them. Kamir Aiken and Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, I do like... So Baldwin's way more expensive this week. So careful.
I wonder why.
Yeah, he's on a pretty prolific run here. Aiken, I do like against the Steelers team, particularly because I think that the Ravens are going to have to throw quite a bit. Three other guys to call out that, you know, not on an every week basis have we been hot on, but like kind of like the way that they're shaping up this week. Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, and T.Y. Hilton also have some nice trends pointing towards them this week.
I like Watkins, but I hate what's happening for Hilton at quarterback. Baldwin, a name that people just that Seattle never seems to get that press, and people don't realize it. Baldwin now 13 touchdowns, Chris, 95 yards away from 1,000 yards. He has 11 TDs in the last six games.
I have a counter to your T.Y. Hilton counter. Miami sucks.
That's unkind.
But true.
Oh, it is very true. Okay. But still, the Colts are just so bad.
Yep. So also, we're staying away from the Titans, the 49ers, the Falcons, and the Browns again. Also, as previously indicated, I'm staying away from the Broncos and the Bengals. Excuse me. Even though there's a lot of talent there, that game could get real weird, man. I don't know what's going to happen in that game.
Yeah, I think in daily games like this, your money games, you can't go on a game like that because it could go upside down either way. Golden Tate, we mentioned earlier, he's been hot, Chris. How do you like him for the value he's coming in through?
Yeah, I like him and Johnson both. So if you don't want to spend for Johnson, then feel free to go with Golden Tate.
And Michael Floyd has been pistol hot, $6,300. I love that. I love that number.
Yeah, he's been solid. He's been worth that number pretty much every week. So if you really love that game, let me double check on that, Bob, to tell you which one of those three guys that I would like the most. While you, if you want to make a point about any one of these guys.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to start teeing up the defense. But Kamir Aiken, who we talked about, by the way, 106 targets now. I was looking up his numbers. 800 yards, only 5 touchdowns. So that team's been bad as far as offensive production. But Aiken gets targeted. He's the number one target. So you spend money, you get targets.
I actually think that I like Fitzgerald the most
this
week, that matchup. Yeah. So watch out for Larry this week, and I'm going to check one more thing, but I think I like Larry the most this week.
He is $1,000 more, but that Green Bay game, another one with an expectation of a lot of points, right? You know, like I said at the start of the show, over 50 points is the expectation.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could definitely be a high-scoring game, even though, obviously, Arizona's defense is very good. Losing Tyrann Mathieu is going to be huge.
Oh, terrible.
But even Green Bay's defense is better than you would think.
Yeah.
This year. Yeah. So, you know what? I think I'm going to say if you can't afford Larry, then Floyd, also a pretty decent play. They're not great against number one wide receivers, which you would think means Larry Fitzgerald, but they actually move him to the slot when they go three wide the most. So I think that they will probably treat Floyd like the number one. I think that they treat him like the number one rather than John Brown. Maybe you disagree, yep. But
I like Arizona because they're home too. So I like Fitzgerald and Floyd both when they're home. I like your call. Let's move on to kickers. We don't want to, we talk about that. We don't finish with kickers or defense here. We finish with the tight end numbers. Kickers, of course, Cairo.
Yeah.
Corporo Santos.
So yeah, him, let's say Matt Prater, Graham Gano, and I think Jason Myers has missed either 7 or 8 extra points.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Yeah, and Steven Gostkowski.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So get those guys from the offense to move the ball. The Pats, the Jaguars, I love that, both those callouts. Usually Seattle pretty good, but boy, with the way Russell Wilson's been getting touchdowns, he's cutting on the field goal range there. We don't like guys probably from the teams you don't think are going to move the ball. Who's that?
Shane Graham. Greg Zuerlein.
Atlanta.
Phil Dawson. Travis Coons. And Randy Bullock.
I wonder if we can plot weeks on the bottom four. I might do that for us during the games today. Weeks in the bottom four of Chris's master daily game sheet.
Yeah, how many guys have emerged from it? I don't think it's a good track record, I can tell you that. I think I'm more confident in the bottom than I am the top.
I think you're right. I'm looking at, every time these bottom guys, they are really putrid.
Yeah.
How about our defenses and special teams?
One thing that I wanted to point out, too, before we move on, the Houston at Tennessee, Cleveland at KC, Dallas at Buffalo, and St. Louis at Seattle, all with potential rain today. So if you're so inclined to not want a kicker from one of those games or players in general from one of those games, there's that. So
could you run those games again real quick?
Absolutely. I just put my phone to sleep, but that's okay. Houston at Tennessee, Cleveland at Kansas City, Dallas at Buffalo, and St. Louis at Seattle.
See, I'm writing that down, folks, as we're talking, because I'll do a couple more rosters, and I will completely shy away from those kickers in the rain.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. So, Chiefs, once again, I think this is the third week running that they're my number one defense, and paid off last week with a touchdown. The Seattle Seahawks also, they are going up against Case Keenum, so like that. Panthers looking good against the Falcons, but as we mentioned, might not see Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly and Josh Norman for the majority of this game, my only issue is that Julio Jones just costs so much, but Julio Jones and Matt Ryan will get some garbage points towards the end of the game when Josh Norman goes out. So
yep.
The Lions, if you want to save some money against the 49ers, like them.
Yep.
And the Texans going up against, I'm forgetting his name now, from LSU, Zach Mettenberger.
And you had Washington in your top eight, and yep, you would have been paid off handsomely there as Sam Bradford pitched a ball right into the Redskins for a pick. I guess called a pitch six.
That was a bad game.
Is that
a game.
Pitch six? Is that what you call that?
He had a Christmas hangover. The Eagles had a Christmas hangover in that
they
game.
They blamed Murray for that, which was not the case.
Yeah.
The ball never got to Murray.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that the team that I would probably go with if I was looking to save money is, for a little bit or a lot less, depending on your format, yep, the Lions. And then, I also kind of like the Texans as well. So,
Jeepers, yeah. DraftKings, you're talking saving an amazing $1,400 for that move.
Yeah, yeah. So,
all right. Well, this is a position that's created a lot of angst this year. So let's start with tight end and make sure you we're going to talk about Will Tye, the New York Giant emerging tight end at one point.
Man, I'm so disappointed. Well, it's great that Ben Watson is playing, but at the same time, I was going to blow your mind by really pitching Josh Hill hard on you if Ben Watson had been out. I was really going to go for that.
That's just mean.
Yeah, and so Greg Olsen, probably your number one tight end this week, I would say.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph, another guy who I kind of like this week. Julius Thomas, I absolutely love this week. Austin Seferia Jenkins, also looking pretty good. How much is Gronk this week? I was just going to look that up because I feel like that could be a sneaky play as well. So he's too much. He's still too much.
8,200 salmons.
He's still too much. So, yeah, I think that the two guys who I'm going to mix it up with are Austin Seferian Jenkins and Julius Thomas.
Yeah, ASJ, a big part of what they're trying to do and get that offense ready for next year. But Julius Thomas, Chris, Jacksonville against New Orleans, that is juicy, juicy, juicy.
Yeah, so that's the worst team in the league against tight ends. And Julius Thomas has had a couple good weeks here. So I have no issue throwing Julius Thomas out there, and I think he'll get some nice targets. Because, like you said, Robinson dings, Yeldon out. I think that they're going to have to throw the ball quite a bit.
They are going to throw the ball quite a bit on this team. And Keith Miller will probably ratchet up against Baltimore. But for the money, you know, spend another $1,000 and have some fun playing with some of these other guys. Because Miller could disappear in this game, too. In Baltimore, you might be surprised. Guys you don't like?
So, Gary Barnage.
Oh,
Jacob Tammy.
Atlanta.
I also, you know.
Where's Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee as well. San Francisco. Delanie Walker, no thanks. Jared Cook, stay away from him. And then Vernon Davis, Owen Daniels, that power couple from the Broncos. Yeah. And, well, but just to let you know, just outside, right about the top 10 range, was Zach Ertz, who had 13 catches last night, 12 catches.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But he had no touchdowns, right?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. I'd have to double check. I don't think he did.
No, I don't think he had a touchdown. I don't think so. Well, and of course, Walker, because no Marcus Mariota. That's you mentioned Mettenberger.
Mettenberger.
Big change as the hamburger is playing for the Titans. You will not see Walker do much.
Man, you weren't kidding that this was a mega show. We almost went an hour. It's been a while since we had an hour long show.
We did it. We owed everybody, man. We owed.
We did, and it's funny. My notepad with show ideas for the off season is pretty prolific right now. Evernote has been redlining for about three straight weeks with me telling it to update it with a new note for show ideas. So I think that it's gonna be a good off season for us. Please stick with us and listen, because I think we're gonna have some fun stuff for the off season and a ton of new listeners. We do this year round, like I said, I think we have some really fun show ideas for the off season. So I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised if you stick with us and keep on listening as we download in your feed.
Yeah, and I think I'll ask Vincente when he gets on the show here probably next week. Maybe I can get a shirt and a hat for Joseph Wormsley.
Yeah, yeah, he probably deserves a shirt after having to watch Kirk Cousins last night.
All right, man, get us out of here.
All right, at All Purpose Roto on Twitter today. I'll be watching the games. Hit me up there, allpurposeroto@gmail.com. If you're like Joseph and you have questions or comments or want to call us out, send it over to allpurposeroto@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you soon.
Thanks, folks.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.